Good to have you all here. I know that we have a big family that, because of a funeral crisis in California, please keep them in prayer. So good to have each one of you here today, and I am going to ask you to join me in prayer because, Lord, help pastors who have to preach this passage. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you today, and we thank you for your word, because whether it is the first verse in Genesis to the last verse in Revelation, they are your word. And so, Lord God, in our day and age, as much as some of us may want to avoid it, it is your word, and we want to follow after it and discover what you're speaking to us about. In your name we pray. Amen. This will be the last of three messages from 1 Corinthians 14. In the next 4 weeks, as we approach Easter, I'm so excited to be speaking from 1 Corinthians 15, a topic that we as Christians are so happy about and so excited for, and that is the resurrection. Not just of our Lord Jesus Christ, but ultimately for us. And every time we know that a dear one went to be with the Lord, we know where they are. We know what's going to happen. We are not people without hope. So today, we want to speak about this passage, a very difficult passage by any stretch. But three areas that I want to focus on. And they're right here in the Word of God. And in fact, the first area, I'm going to ask that our passage will come up again after you see the first line. First of all, worship must be orderly and peaceful. Orderly and peaceful. I'm going to ask that you bring back the first slide right there. I think one of the things that sometimes we get caught up with is, certainly some churches, the worship can be pretty wild. And I'm not just talking about a proliferation of a lot of people speaking in tongues everywhere. Have you ever been to churches like that? It's not typical Baptist churches, although a percentage of a Baptist church is also charismatic. And there might be a lot of tongue speaking, and that's a normal thing, and it seemed kind of, you know, messy in some way, but for the folks there, not so. But it's not just about that. It can be about a lot of other things. There are a lot of things that we go on that are not orderly and not peaceful and may not have anything to do with the supernatural gift of tongues or prophecy and so forth and so on. There's a lot of things like that. But understand this about the church. The church is to be orderly and peaceful. I want to delve into those two words particularly later. But because our God is orderly and peaceful. Our God is not a messy God. Our God is not a confused God. Our God is not a God of confusion at all. And so because of that, when we worship God, when we are in the presence of the living God, when we gather together as the body of Christ in a church, it needs to be orderly and peaceful. It goes on. It says, when you assemble, it doesn't necessarily mean in a worship service, we can assemble in a Sunday school class, we can assemble in a fellowship, we can assemble in different settings. But when that happens, each has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, interpretation. We talked about it last week, that all people, all the members of the church, well, they are to be involved. We contribute. It's not just a pastor or somebody who is a Sunday school teacher leading it, and everything else is just like we're just receiving, like all students or people watching a performance. No, that's not it. This is how it's supposed to be. There is order in it, and things are being done, and they're being done for edification. We found out what that was, like literally like a building a brick block by block in a building. And it goes on. It gets very specific. Why? Because in the church of Corinth at this point in time, there was a lot of confusion. We already went through it. I mean, 30 messages that we have gone through in which we talked about disunity. We talked about fighting. We talked about slandering each other. All kinds of stuff was happening. It is not just a somebody thing, well, my gift is better than your gift. No. The Apostle Paul was dealing with that. And one of the things that he was dealing with was that people were so impressed with the supernatural gifts that would be seen. And they say, they are the more spiritual people. They are the better people. So he begins in 27 and says, if anyone speaks in tongues, let me tell you, unless you can prove otherwise, that there is a place that said no one's going to speak in tongues anymore. This is very clear. This is about 20 years after The ministry started with the Apostle Paul. The church is already established. It's first century, yes. But it's late. And they were speaking in tongues. But he says, he gives an order. He said it should be by two or three at most. In other words, there should not be all kinds of people speaking in tongues. I realize in our church, we don't have that, even one. But if we were to have it, it should be by two or three. This is the order that God has laid out and used the Apostle Paul to tell them. So there should not be like 20 or 30, 40 of them. And if you ever been to a charismatic church and churches and good brothers and sisters in the Lord in those places, sometimes it happens. The whole service can be full of tongues speaking. But it says here, it should be by two or three at the most. And each in turn should not be running on top of each other. Well, what's going on there? Well, if the Spirit of God is doing it, if it's by the power of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is an orderly being, he is the Almighty God, then those who serve him who are operating on the basis of his giftedness and power would also be orderly, and each in turn. And then he says, this is really important. I don't know where that went out the window in some churches. It says, and must be interpreted, and one must interpret. If there's no interpretation, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So this is the orderly part of it. Remember the Apostle Paul said, you know what? Speaking in tongues is great. It's a gift of God. But you know what? You don't edify others because no one knows what you're saying. And so in the church setting, in a place where you gather together in worship and Sunday school, whatever it is, prayer meetings, whatever, when there is a tongue that is used, someone who speaks in tongues, there has to be interpreted. In other words, there are people with the gift of interpretation. There are people with the gift of interpretation that do not have the gift of tongues. A lot of times they do have it together. But nevertheless, when it's exercised, that must be done. Now, what does that say? That says that God is a God of order. He does not want this order to go on, because when someone speaks in tongues and there's no interpretation, you're kind of like, well, okay, I don't know what he said. I don't know what God is saying to us and so forth. It's disorder. That's not God. God doesn't do that. So it's important. And for the people in this church, we would call it a charismatic church, the Church of Corinth, they needed that understanding. They needed that it was important. He must keep silent. Let two or three prophets speak. Prophecies are there too. And we talked about prophecy last week. If you don't understand it, you can go back. We have it on video. A little bit that we touched on. And the same thing, there's not a lot. And let the others pass judgment. You know what that means? There are people that would just stand up and give a word of the Lord, you know, a prophecy of the Lord. But you know what? In the church, there are those who evaluate. There are those that God has called upon to be leaders of the church to say, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like a prophecy from the Lord. This is not something that God would say. This doesn't seem right. And there are people with discernment, the gift of knowledge with the Spirit of God in them. They say, this is something else. This is something that someone has made up. Or this is something from the enemy to discourage us, to destroy us, whatever it is. So people can't just stand up and say things, and this is, you know, God just told me this. There are those that will pass judgment. There are leaders in the church that are given that. You say, well, what is all that? We don't have all this stuff in CBC, do we? Well, in the midst of all this, in the last 2,000 years, there are churches that have lost some of this, and you and I need to look at the Word of God. Again, it isn't an opinion. It isn't the Word of God here. This is what it said. Unless you say that 1 Corinthians 14 is not of the Lord, these are his words. This is God's Word. And this is what he's stating here. And then it says, but if a revelation is made to another, the first must keep silent. So there is an order, right? So there's like somebody standing up, somebody not, somebody saying this, you know, even in a prayer meeting, somebody said, this is what God is telling me. Someone else stops. You know, there's no contradictory. There's no disorder here. This is really, really important. For you can all prophesy one by one so that they may learn, the second slide, please, and all may be exhorted. And the spirits, verse 32, you may not understand what that is. This is important. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. You know what that means? Sometimes, now we're going to be going through more of the spiritual gifts, and so that you can discover yours and exercise them eventually, if you have not already. Some people think that sometimes the spiritual gifts comes upon them, and boom, boom, this happens. You know, I can't control it. No, no, no. Spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of the living God. If you're walking with the Lord, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, You have spiritual gifts. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God is controlling those things in you, enabling you and I to exercise those gifts. But understand that the spiritual gifts are controllable by the person. So you are under control with those things. So in other words, if you have the gift of tongues, someone said, well, yeah, I don't know. God just came upon me, and I just had to speak it. I can't control it. It just came out. That would be wrong, because it says here, the spirits of prophets are subject to the prophets. The gifts that God gives to you, if you have the gift of prophecy, if you have the gift of tongues, you have the gift of teaching, you have the power and enabling by the Spirit of God to control that, to exercise it or not. That's important. Because some people will make excuses why they do what they do, and it's out of control. All that because why? For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of saints. The word here, peace, is literally the word, if you don't know, in Greek is Irene. That's where we get the word Irene. If someone's named Irene, she's named Peace. And that word describes a condition of whoever and of the church. The church is to be a church of peace. Unfortunately, too often, the church is not. Sometimes in a place like this, in a worship setting, there can be a lot of confusion and there's no peace in it. But more often, there is something that is not peaceful in the church. The church, because the enemy is always going to get in. The enemy is there. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, you know, there's going to be wheat and tares going to grow together. Don't pull out the tares, he told the disciple. If you did, you will pull out the wheat. So in the church, there's always going to be elements of the enemy in there. Whether it's a person that doesn't understand, that's just controlled by the enemy, whether it's a non-believers, whether it is literally spies of the enemy that will come in. Now, we know that happens, particularly with certain churches. I know Chinese churches, we're always very careful because there may be agents of certain countries that are here. We know that. That's why we don't say certain things, because we don't want to give them fodder and fuel to hurt some people that we have on the mission field. But that's like that in the church overall as well, that the enemy, Satan himself, will put people in there that will cause what? The main thing that he wants to cause is dissension. And what does dissension, what does it cause? It causes the lack of peace. And it's important for our church to understand that whether we are deliberating in a committee, whether we are in a prayer meeting, whether we are in a Sunday school class, that the effort of peace is very much needed, because God is God of peace. And if we are without peace, then there's something wrong with who we are and what we are. So here it is. It is a command by the Almighty God that we need to operate things in orderly fashion and in peace. Second thing we read here, it's about women in ministry. Okay, worship roles for women. Let me call your attention to the slide that states that. Verse 34, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are subject to themselves, just as the law also says. There are churches, many churches, maybe less now, that from that basis would not allow a woman to be anywhere close to a microphone or behind a pulpit. I may have shared with you before that in our old church, we would have a missions week. And during that missions week, there would be missionaries that would come and be assigned to us. There were usually two of them. And because on the field, there are a lot of awesome women missionaries. And many of them are single women missionaries. Our denomination back then would never send single men, but would send single women. So as a result, we have a lot of single women. And they do great and awesome work. I can tell you the names of these missionaries in Thailand, in Africa, in Europe, in Asia, all kinds of places that I want to tell you, they're awesome ministers. And so what happens is the week of missions will be divided in two. And it will be like this. You will get the beginning of the week or the end of the week. The beginning of the week will go from Sunday to a Wednesday. The end of the week will be from a Wednesday evening to a Saturday. And so I would get calls from other churches who are in our city, say, Pastor Dan, can you do us a favor? We have Mrs. Who is this or Miss That. She is here on a Sunday morning. Can we swap her with your guy? because we can't have her speak behind the pulpit. Now, I would do it, but I would be livid. You know, she's out there in the jungles of Thailand sharing the gospel, planted three churches, and you won't let her speak behind a pulpit. Who are you? Well, you know, that's what the Bible says. You know, they can't speak. So somehow the pulpit makes it so that it's, you know, like speaking. Now, they can share. They can share on the down there, not on the platform. They can give an announcement. They can do that in these churches. Okay, you say, well, isn't that what the Bible says? Pastor Dan, you always say, not your opinion, but the Bible, right? Okay, we need to understand what it's saying here. First of all, I want to remind you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, you probably forgot what that said. It says that a woman can pray and prophesy. Now, remember what prophecy is. Prophesying, speaking the word of God in church. It says it can, but they must have a head covering. And we remember what the head covering meant, right? It isn't that you have to have head covering now. It is a head covering proving that you are under the authority that God has placed over you. And so, listen, a woman can come up here and speak because she is under the authority of the church. A woman can be a minister and do the things that she does because she's under the authority of the church. Now, it would behoove me to tell you that through these words, I do not come to the conclusion that it would be wrong for a senior pastor to be a woman. I think that would be wrong. I think God has called men and women for different roles. And to be head of the local church body, I would say that according to these verses, it would be wrong. But for a woman to speak and to teach, it doesn't forbid that at all, unless you can prove otherwise. You say, how about just these verses here? What does it really mean here? Because if you take any other verses out or the other one, you kind of find this here. Well, let me go through with you. Verse 34. The woman ought to keep silent in church. The context in which now a church, the Corinth church, is in a place where a lot of people are speaking all over the place. Obviously, that's what Paul is addressing, orderly and peaceful, including men and women. They're jumping off, they're saying things and on and on. It had to be controlled. It cannot be like that. It had to be changed. And the word here, woman, is interesting. The word here, woman, does not necessarily define a woman. It can, but oftentimes it defines a married woman. And you say, well, how does that relate? Well, because it goes on and it says it in verse 35, it says, if you desire to learn, let them ask of their own husband at home. So it gives you context that this is exactly what Paul is talking about. Not that a married woman cannot teach and speak, but in the process of being up in the church, there's a lot of times they needed to be under the head of the home, which is, according to the word of God, the husband. And therein lies a little bit more of understanding. Another thing to understand is, as I shared with you before, that there was an evaluation of the prophecies or the words spoken. Now, remember back then, there was the word of God, but the word of God was not complete yet. There were things being said, and you know what? Unless there's somebody that is biblically and authoritatively understanding of God and the word of God, they needed to be evaluated. And the evaluation, some thought, in this understanding, the women were doing so, and that would be wrong because the head of the church is Jesus Christ, and under him will be those men that he has placed. Now, you can disagree with me with that because obviously in this day and age, to say something will be an end. You know, there'll be protests out there against such a pastor who's anti-feminist. It's not. It is the word of God here. I am totally a believer in the ability of women to teach and to speak and to minister, but under the setting in which God has given to us. So, if you are wanting to minister, you are welcome in our church. If you want to be teaching in certain facets, and God has given you the gift of teaching, and particularly a great knowledge in a certain area, I love it, embrace it. Because our church, at this point in time, has what God has wanted. And that is, we have leadership that is based according to the word of God. The last thing I want to share with you, this is important. And you say, why did he say that? Well, he put it in there. Paul says, worship commands must be obeyed. You know, today we have a society in which Do whatever you want to do. It's amazing. I hear these things. And it's like, you know, whatever gender it is, you decide what gender you are. You know, it's not decided at birth. Or you know what? Truth is what you believe it to be. That's said all the time out in there. You can hear it. And your young people, if you're not listening to it, well, that's what's being heard all the time in the internet. You can decide. It's very existential. You decide what's right. You decide what's wrong. You decide what you should do. And you know what? It happens in the church, too. I still remember reading a long piece by a bunch of pastors from different churches stating these things. From the Baptist church to the Presbyterian church to whatever. They were stating how, you know what, all these years I thought the Word of God said this. Now I understand it doesn't say that at all. Because now he's putting in the goggles, the filters of worldliness and liberalism and all kinds of things, and they're looking at the Word of God, oh yeah, that didn't really mean that. And that didn't really mean that. And you wonder, oh my goodness, has that happened to our Baptist churches? Oh my. In case you don't know, that the BGCT, our Texas Baptist Convention, 2 weeks ago, and I was on the executive board, we made a decision to sever our ties with CBF. Some of you know CBF. Corporate Baptist Fellowship. It is a mission sending organization. It's also involved with about 1,800 churches in the States here. And Texas Baptist, whom we are, was linked to them. And maybe some of you have even contributed money to them. And there are certainly other Baptist churches in Houston have done so. We've severed it because they made a decision. They made a decision and saw the Word of God as something different. And they began to link phrases like holiness and godliness and righteousness to things that we would never have thought of 30 years ago or even 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. Certainly Texas Baptist still does not. And on the basis of that, we had to sever it. And so they have decided, you know, the Word of God is not what it means. And we don't have to obey the Word of God. So the Apostle Paul writes here, verse 37, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. And what we need to understand in the leadership of the church, and as you grow in the Lord, and you might be just a brand new Christian, say, Pastor Dan, I'm not really sure what you're talking about. I want to tell you, we are going to follow the Word of God. If God said it in his word, we're going to believe it. We're going to apply it in our lives. And we're going to love on people that don't believe it. We're going to love on people that don't practice it. But we're not going to change it. And so in the process of this and understanding this, how God teaches us to worship, how God teaches us to gather together as his church, how God teaches us to deal with issues in the church, how God teaches us as men and women, and how we behave, and how we operate, we're going to follow it because that's the Word of God says. In the moment I don't believe that, should be the moment I'm not pastor of any church. This is what God has spoken to us. And then he ends this before he gets into the great passage in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Why? Because speaking the Word of God speaks to the heart of people. Whether you are gifted in prophecy or whether you are just prophesying, speaking the Word of God from the Word of God or what God is speaking to you about, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. That's important. You say, well, is that a big deal? It was a deal because God has said it. You know, speaking in tongues, does that matter? Well, it matters this because God has said it. And so we should not treat those churches and people who spoke in tongues as if there's something wrong with them, those of us who do not. And this is what the Word of the Lord said. But all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. So I want to encourage you guys to go back and study chapter 14, 1 Corinthians again. There's so many things there that would challenge our thoughts. There are things that make us uncomfortable even. But that's okay, because it is the Word of God. And I know that some people think, well, Pastor Dan, that's just poor. It's just Paul's ideas of things. No. Every single word in the Bible is from the heart of God. He uses different instruments, whether the Apostle Paul, Moses, whether Peter, whoever, to write his word down. But these are from his heart. And because it is so, we need to follow. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for bringing us to a place where we may be uncomfortable, but nevertheless, you have spoken. I pray that you will help our church, Lord, to walk in the ways that you have desired. That we would, Lord God, be able to minister in ways to people like we have not before. Father, I pray that those who do not understand the giftedness and the spiritualness, Lord, that you would teach them and grow them. And Father, for those that have been serving you faithfully, Lord, I want to pray that you will encourage them, that you will just fill their hearts with a deep sense of confidence, Lord. And Father, as a church, would you lead us by your wisdom? Lord God, would you raise up in our church just a whole lot of deep and spiritual folks who love you, who want to serve you, and who will make an impact through CBC to our community and our world. Thank you so much in your name.